Hey there, welcome to Intentional Living. The doors are open to the center. Come on in. I'm Randy Carlson. We're talking about teenagers today, and one of the major complaints over my many years of helping, teaching, counseling with the parents is I can't get my teenager to communicate. Tell me what's going on. They'll tell me some things, but I just want to know what's going on in their life. How do you get your teens to talk? We've got people lined up to tell you what's worked for them. Are you ready? This is Intentional Living.
Welcome to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. He's a best-selling author, husband and father, and your advocate for the family. So, you got a 15-year-old teenager in the house, and you'd be fortunate to get two words out of him in the space of 24 hours. Well, Dr. Randy's got some help for you when your teens are giving you the silent treatment. If you've got questions or if you've got a story, call now, 1-888-888-1717. That's 1-888-888-1717. Now, from the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, where we want to help you be intentional for your kids, here's Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. Welcome. You know, some parents, you may be one of those, and your teenager, you just have no problem. I mean, they just communicate, they talk, they're open. God love you. But that's not the case with a lot of parents today, and it's not the fault of parents necessarily. It's just, you know, you got kids going through this ambivalence of the teen years and trying to identify with who they are and their own peer groups. And now, of course, they can get lost with their technology and talk to each other without you even knowing what's going on. And that's a concern. That's a whole nother topic. But how do you get your kids to open up for you? How do you do that? And if you've been successful at that, you have an idea, or your parents did a good job, give us a call. Love to hear your story. Tips today, tips, ideas. Let's get intentional with each other. Let's help some parent someplace today who's looking for something to hang on to in parenting that teenager. 888-888-1717. I think Judy sets the stage beautifully on Facebook today. She says, my sister gave wise advice to me, and it was listen when they talk, because when you want them to talk, they won't talk, of course. Try not to respond right away. That, underline that. Remember that most things do not need to be dealt with immediately. So hard, but so true. And it is. And if you have the tendency to want to always answer and give advice and jump in, you know, zip it. You know, just be quiet and let your teens talk. There's some good advice for you. You want to join the discussion? 888-888-1717.
Sometimes talking to a teenager is like talking to a wall. It makes you just want to avoid doing it all together. How do you talk to teens?
This is the Intentional Living Minute. Your host is psychologist Dr. Gregory Jantz, our intentional mental health specialist.
When you've got something important to tell your teen, timing is everything. Wait until he's had some food before you talk. Then give him a heads up. Kids respond better when they can wrap their minds around things ahead of time. Just something simple like, after dinner, let's talk about your room for 5 minutes. When he's had a chance to think about it, you're less likely to get that blank stare. It also helps if you can get rid of any strong emotions you have. Share one or two concrete statements and then let him respond. When you partner with your teen to navigate the hard areas, it makes you both feel great. For Intentional Living, this is Dr. Greg Jantz.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com.
Thank you, Dr. Jantz. This is the home of helping parents be intentional and helping parents raise responsible adults. And certainly, today's an old-fashioned parent talk as we hear from parents about raising teens. Karen, before I go to the calls, Karen on Facebook says, for her, while driving in a car is a good time to help your teens talk, I think my son feels it's easier to talk when not facing each other. Boy, that's true. Sometimes profound discussions can go on in the car as you get a chance to look out the window and, you know, have a goal that you're headed toward, but you can talk. Good place. All right, let's head off to the phones here. We've got Sonia on the line in Arizona. Welcome to the program, Sonia. Appreciate your call.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
How do you do it?
Well, I think for me, it's helped to establish a relationship with the kids when they're little. Spending time with them, and like you said, listen and not always react. And sometimes I've had to bite my tongue and just pray and ask God to give me wisdom. But what I've done is try to establish that relationship as they're growing up, because if you try to establish a relationship as a teenager, that doesn't work. My mom did that, and that didn't work. So what I do is our oldest son is 21. He'll be 22 in February. We have an 18-year-old, and another son just turned 13. Mm. But for the two older boys, what I do is I'll stay up and wait for them to come home from work, or, you know, they're out. And sometimes I stay up till 11:30, 12 midnight waiting for them to come.
Wow.
And I find that when they come home and it's the end of the day, they're sometimes relaxed, or something happened during the day and it's the two of us, and they open up and they just share their heart or what has happened that day. And again, not reacting, not always having something to say until I've prayed about it. And I'll come back in the other opportunity, maybe a week later or the next day, and we'll talk about it.
So you're available. You're there. You make yourself available. If they come in, though, and they don't want to talk, have a nice night.
Right. Or yeah, we'll just sit there and watch a show, whatever they want to watch. It could be the dumbest show, but I'll sit there and I'll laugh with them and just let them know that I'm interested, even in the silly things that they're doing.
Yeah.
And I think that holds a lot of value.
Absolutely. Good advice. Thank you, Sonia. Appreciate it. Let's go over to Texas. Kathy has some advice for parents today. Kathy, welcome.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Appreciate your call. What have you learned about getting teens to open up a little bit?
Well, I think teens are really, really busy these days. And so one thing that my husband and I would do is we would take them out individually for the weekend away.
Mm.
So one time my son and I went to Carlsbad Caverns, and one time my daughter and I went to a bed and breakfast and spent the night and went to an arts and crafts show, and then my husband would take the kids out individually.
Yeah.
So that way, you know, you kind of get them away from their normal schedule, and you get out of your normal schedule, and you can really spend time together having fun and just reconnecting. So
yeah, so often, no, it's a good
with
one.
God's help.
Yeah, it's
Thank you.
Very practical, Kathy, because so often we get into routines, and routines tend to be very routine-oriented, obviously. And when you break that pattern and you get out, you do something different, it sets up a different environment. And some of the defenses come down. There's more time to be open. And it tends to be a positive experience with all people, especially when you have teenagers. I think that's good. Good advice. Thank you, Kathy. What about you? And we got tips coming in on Facebook. I'll get to some more of those, things that have worked for you and helping your teens open up. Let me share one thing I find works. Ask their opinion and respect it. You know, we just went through an election cycle here. Ask them what they think about the people in power and authority in the community. What do they think about things going on in the community? What do they think about things in the news? What do they think about things in life? And listen to them without correcting them, or, you know, having them to conform to your own beliefs on that at this point. Certainly you want to share with them what you believe and why and what the Bible teaches. And a lot of times it's an open-ended question to say, what do you think the Bible teaches about that? Have you studied that? What do you think God would think of what's happening in our country or whatever? But asking their opinion and talking about things that matter, teenagers respecting them is a huge part of the process, I think, of opening up communication with your teens. 888-888-1717.
Hi, my name is Sarah, and I am from the lovely state of Michigan. I want to tell you how I am being intentional, and not just for today, but I'm trying to make it a life switch. I have a young son who is going to be a teenager, and I've seen changes in him, and I know sometimes you just have to sit down and just say, okay, this is because he's becoming a teenager, and that's what I'm doing. I'm being intentional because I'm listening more, and I am answering the questions on his level, and I am trying to be a better parent every single day. I take that time to tell him how much I love him every day, and I tell him that I'm proud of him every day. And I have just, it has filled my heart with such wonderful blessings. And I thank you very much. I'm also being intentional in my work by not letting people bother me as much. It really does work. Hope you're having a great day, and thank you.
Yeah, boy, that's good. Good for you. That's there's a one practical thing in the workplace. not letting people get under your skin quite so quickly. Hey, you know, you guys are sharing some really neat things on Facebook. Deanna says, we listened to them when they were little. Their problems seemed huge to them when they were 6 years old. No question or conversation was off limits. Now, as teenagers and young adults, they talk about everything with us. A good pattern to set in your home with the little ones. Let me see here. Here's one that says, be respectful of them as human beings as we would want to be respected by them. Edna says, listen. Angie says, I don't know. Please tell me. I have girls 13, 14, help. Okay. That's why we're here, Angie. We got people who are ready to share with you their thoughts. In fact, let's get back to calls. Lois, hi there. Welcome to the program. How are you, Lois?
Yes.
There you go. Welcome to the program from Kansas. Go right ahead. What have you learned?
Well, through the years, of course, my boys are grown. They have kids of their own now. But, you know, parents are so judgmental of their kids and other kids and other friends' parents and so on. And, you know, we have got to let our kids know that we can't judge them. We have to accept them the way they are, just like we accept our own kids the way they are, whether they have a learning disability or whatever disability, if they have one. And, you know, if we can't accept their kids the way they are, then we can't accept anybody else. And we're not setting a good godly example by being so daggone judgmental of people. And by doing that, you also will open the door and let your child talk to you. You have to be open and honest and accepting.
Well, you know, Lois, the number one cause of marital distress is criticism, according to research, in communication. And that's true with our parent-child relationships as well. When our nature is to be critical of our children and teenagers or young adults, that puts up a wall instantly. Whenever there's a statement or a sentiment of you should, or why don't you, the wall goes up quickly within relationships, as opposed to accepting them. Hopefully, if they're in a place they shouldn't be, we can help encourage them and influence them, because in teen years, the control becomes less and less, with the hope of influence becoming greater and greater, influencing our sons and daughters, even into adulthood, to influence them. Influence means that they're willing to listen, and that's a great goal, certainly is. Okay, thanks, Lois. Let's go to James over in Florida. James, welcome from Florida today. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
Good, good. What do you think on this topic of getting teens to open up?
I was thinking, I don't have teens yet, but I've got four daughters, and my oldest one is 9, and somebody gave me some advice, and they said that if you want your kids to listen to you when they're teenagers, or if you want them to talk to you when they're older, you have to listen to them when they're younger.
Mm-hmm.
Like my younger kids right now, my kids are 9, 7, 5, and 4, and you know, the younger ones will say a lot of nonsense and silliness and things that typically I wouldn't be inclined to really listen to. But my friend was telling me that by listening to them now, I heard you say something about that just a few minutes ago, but maybe it was an email or something. But people, if we listen to them when they're younger, then when they get a little bit older and they have all these issues, they'll be more willing to talk to us about it.
Absolutely. We're developing a habit in the family. In fact, I did a lesson this morning on the topic of building habits. And if you have a habit in your home of listening to your kids, listening to their opinions, listening to when they're happy and unhappy, without always correcting them or silencing them, when you want them to talk to you when they're teens, they're more likely to do so. And so don't squelch your kids sharing with you what's on their hearts. Yeah, you have to provide direction, and sometimes coming back later and saying, hey, can we follow up on that discussion to make sure there's clarity of them understanding the values of the family and so on. But when we listen to our kids, when we truly listen to them when they're young, they're more likely to be there to listen to us and allow us to listen to them when they're teenagers. All right, communicating with teens, what is it? What's one thing that works for you or worked for you? 888-888-1717.
Are you making intentional choices every day? If the answer is yes, you've probably seen God doing some amazing things as you focused your life on Him, and we'd love to hear about it.
I wanted to share with you what it means to have intentional living for me.
And I'm being intentional by praying for people who have needs daily.
How are you choosing to be intentional with your life? Tell us about it when you call 888-888-1717 and encourage others with your story of intentional living.
With my first cup of coffee.
First thing at the office, before staff meeting.
When do you go to the Intentional Living Facebook page?
I look at it every morning on my elevator ride to the office. Really?
Each morning right after I drop off the kids.
Have you visited the Intentional Life page on Facebook today? Stay intentional with words from Dr. Randy, comment on wall posts, and share about what's going on in your life, too. And be sure to share the encouragement with someone you care about. Go to facebook.com/intentionalliving and click like.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Randy?
All right, thank you, Kurt. Listen, we got some fantastic comments coming in on Facebook, some of them lengthy, in fact, that people really share their story and what they did and communicating with their kids or what they're doing with their teens. I'd encourage parents, if you got teenagers or preteens, you want to hear it from those who've been in the trenches, come on over to our Facebook. Come to theintentionallife.com and get the Facebook there, or Facebook/intentionalliving, okay? And I was just scanning down this long list, and Helen had an interesting statement. I agree with her completely. She says, my daughter is now 25, but I remember the less questions I ask, the more information she gave. Now, it seems counterintuitive, parent, but I'm telling you, Helen is exactly right. Because when you give them attention and you listen, and you change it up a little bit so you're not just always predictable. That's always mom. That's always dad. You got to change it up sometimes. But stop asking so many questions. Questions are great in business meetings or in trying to analyze things or working through problems. But when you want your child to open up, be careful the questions you ask, less than more. And the ones you do ask, make them more thought-provoking, open-ended questions like, what's your opinion on some topic, where they can just share their heart. Okay, we're talking about getting our kids, our teenagers, to talk to us.
This is Steve Tanner with news to help your teenagers drive safely. 14 years ago, when he was 14 years old, Tyler Presnell, his brother and his sister, went for a ride with a trusted friend who just earned his driver's license. But the friend was showing off and crashed.
I was the only one in the car that really got messed up. I was on life support for a long time. I have a traumatic brain injury. I got fed through a tube that hung out of my stomach for quite some time. I had to relearn how to walk, how to talk. It was a hard road. It still is to this day, and that's why I do what I do.
Tyler's much better now, but he still lacks 80% of his short-term memory. Now he speaks to kids to urge them to drive carefully and avoid texting. He tells parents to make rules and enforce them.
Kids that have rules are half as likely to get into a crash. Get your kids involved in a defensive driving course. Some insurance companies offer discounts. Limit your child's texting and driving, or even prevent it. I know they're going to flip and they're going to say, no, but do it. You're the parent.
Tyler says parents should remind their teens that driving is not a right, it's a privilege. He says having the tough talks can improve relationships.
They may not like it, but deep down, psychologically, they're going to know that you care. And that's a beautiful thing.
Tyler says he used to wish every day that the wreck never happened. But now he's thankful that because of it, he's blessed to make a difference in so many lives. For Intentional Living, I'm Steve Tanner.
Thank you, Steve, and welcome to the home of Intentional Living. Today, we're talking about teenagers and how to get them to open up, and we're packing a lot in here. There's much more available online for you as well. Speaking of online, from Facebook, Amy, speaking of boys, She says, make time to have fun with them doing what they like to do. Sometimes introduce them to things that you like. You know, that's what we tend to be as our first choice. But talk to them about soccer games or video games or whatever's on their radar, getting behind their eyes. That's a key because every child's different. Knowing the heart, the interests, the desires, the challenges of your son or daughter allows you to get behind their eyes something that's powerful. All right, back to calls here. We go to David's on the line in Michigan. Hi, David. Welcome to Intentional Living Center.
Hello there. My name is Dave, and I've had three teenagers that are gone from the house now. But one trick I used to use is never talk to them directly. Never ask them a direct question. You always get the nonchalant nod or something. What I would do is I would always talk about fictitious people. There's got to be a reason why you want to talk to them. And if it's let's say, cheating, I would say, you take over the conversation. I would start by telling them that I really feel sorry for them kids that cheat. Because, you know, they might pass the test, but they're going to flunk the course. They're not going to get the knowledge that the going to school every morning is for. And if you could come up with controversial subjects to get them aroused, they will join the conversation mm-hmm. themselves.
Sure they will. And so what you opinions. Do is you figured out how to preach at them without even them knowing it, see? And I think sometimes a non-direct approach helps. But I really do think the idea of bringing up topics and getting them on the table that will begin to discuss. There's so much going on in the world today. Come on, we're talking about values. We've got the millennials that have a different mindset, different view, and then those even following the millennials, the younger ones, than many of us who've been around for a while. Getting some of these issues on the topic, on the table as topics to discuss, to start unpacking what their opinions are, what their thoughts are. And then as parents, ultimately, in the appropriate time, being able to come back to the truth. But timing is everything. Timing's everything in life, and it certainly is in parenting. All right, thank you, David. Let's go to Molly in Arizona. Hi there, Molly. How you doing?
Hi, Molly. I'm great.
No, you're Molly. I'm Randy.
No, I said I'm Molly. It's okay.
All right. Hey, thank you, Molly. What is it you've learned about raising teens?
Well, we have two teenage boys that have grown into wonderful young men, and they all had friends that camped at our house, which we thought was fantastic. But what we did, as much as we could, we listened. I agree with the callers. We listened. We asked their opinion. You know, we didn't have so much trouble engaging with our boys. Some of their friends, you know, it wasn't a struggle, but we had to gain their trust before they would engage with us. And we're still all friends with those young men, which is really awesome. But one thing that I tried to do, because it happened to me as a child, was not react. Mm. If they told me something, I didn't want to react and do the parental freak out thing, because sometimes when you do that, you'll say something that'll pierce their heart.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you're talking to them, be mindful that they're tender-hearted and they don't have the life experience that you do as an adult. And they're looking to you for, you know, the role model and the way to handle these situations. So that was one of the things that I kept uppermost in my mind, was to treat them with gentility and kindness. You know, there are times that you have to simply lay down the law. There's no question about that, not arguing with that. But even in laying down the law, you don't have to be hurtful mm-hmm. or, you know, demean them.
Well, what you do as a mom is you did two things. One is you had the kids at your house. I'll tell you, I'd rather have the kids at my house than at somebody else's house. Because that opens up a lot of opportunity to not only supervise, know what's going on, but also to really see the interactions between your kids and others. It helps you as a parent. Excellent, excellent advice. All right, Molly, appreciate your call today. Lots of comments continuing to come in. Check them all out online. What I want to do in this lesson, because we're talking about yes and no, these two out of 170,000 words in the dictionary that Jesus chose to take out and put before us to say, let your yes be yes and your no be no. So it means something. It should mean something to us, right? And in the intentionals, there's 10 things, very briefly, to help us make our yeses and our noes work for our good. First of all, consider the consequences before you say yes or no. And whenever you say yes, there's going to be a consequence. Stephen Covey said, while we are free to choose our actions, we are not free to choose the consequences of our actions. Proverbs 27:12 says, a prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. You and I, we all know people, right, who have said yes to things that you know they should have said no to. And the consequence was just around the corner. Other people could see it. And God refers to that as being a simpleton. Pretty powerful. And so considering the consequences before we say yes or no. Every time I want to eat that donut, I got to be reminded that I'm a simpleton, right? Hey, listen, I think there's truth in even the seemingly insignificant yeses and noes of life, that they have consequences. They tend to collect. We think of the big ones, but every yes, every no has a consequence. Sometimes unintended, but certainly a consequence nonetheless. That's the teaching this month. Very excited about it because it's a teaching where we take these two one-syllable words out of 170,000 words in the English dictionary, and these two words are very powerful. We use them many times in every day, don't we? They have to be in the top 10 list of words that we use in a day, I would think. Powerful words. So this month, the teaching, yes, and no, power in both. Watch for it. Members, you probably already have it. If you don't, it's coming soon. If you're not a member, you know what? A monthly support to this ministry will reach people here and around the world with a very practical message of living intentionally in Christ. So I invite you to join us, and we'll make sure that this gets your way. It'll come right to you. You can call during West Coast business hours or go online anytime. I'll tell you the address in a moment. And also, a reminder that for every person who shares the best gift that God has for the ministry this month, and you ask for it, we're going to send you a neat little book called Made to Thrive at Christmas. Lots of quotes and scripture and encouragement for this holiday season, and we'll get it to you ASAP. Two ways to contact us. Go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Click on donate or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, and press number 4 to talk to our staff. All right? Fair enough. And they'll be here this week up until Thanksgiving. All right? You can do that today. God bless you. We'll see you next time from Intentional Living.